terrified. He's terrified that he's going to be. He's afraid of Esav. Esav is coming with him with 400 men. Okay, he's coming there with 400 men, and he's afraid. I'm putting everyone on mute. We have some background noise here, and he's afraid what's going to happen. So he takes now a gift. We learned probably in the previous Aliyah, Yaakov did three things. Number one, he prepared for war. Number two, he was mispalel, and number three, he sent a gift. You always got to give a guy a gift. That's the rule, a bribe. Someone told me, there is no such thing in this world for a guy not to take a bribe. No such thing. The only question is how much. There's always a Jew is probably even less. Chas v'shalom. But a guy, there's no such thing as a guy not taking a bribe. Just how much you got to pay. That's what it's all about. Unfortunately, but obviously, you know, it's amazing. We live in such a corrupt world. You see what goes on today. It's just not to be believed. Not to be believed.
Rabbi, all the Jews, all this Hasidic Shaman says somebody's in the prison and right away collect money to give a bribe.
It's a terrible thing. I don't know what to tell you. It's terrible. Terrible thing. Vayalan Shamalachum Yikach Min Abov Yodo Mincha Le'esav Achiv. They stayed there night, and that night they took Min Abov Yodo a Mincha meal offering. That is a meal offering, I'm sorry. A Mincha is a gift Le'esav Achiv. What does the Targum say? Uvas. Uvas means Vayalan. It means to stay overnight. Haman there. Belilya Ahu on that night. Unasiv. And they took Min the Icebeer. We came into his hands. Tik Ruvta, a carbon. The same word as a carbon. They brought a gift, Le'esav Achui, to Esav, his brother. Rashi, Habab Yadai. Esav min Habab Yadai. B'rishusai. What was in his possession? V'chein v'yikach es kolash es arzo miyadai. What does it mean from his hand? It means that Moshe and Klal Yisrael, they took all the land from the hands of Sichon and Oig, miyadai. Umedrish agadah min Habab Yadai avonim tayvos. Something that you can hold in your hand. Stones, precious stones. Umar Goliath. She'odim tzor b'tzror. A person wraps them up in a bundle. V'noisam b'yado. Okay, there's a second. Davar acher min abo b'yado. Min hachulin. She'nota what min abo b'yado. What is now his possession. He did not give them from Meiser. She'notal Meiser. K'modat omar aser ta'asren uloch. He first took Meiser. Hadar lokach mincha, and then he took from the leftovers the gift. So Rashi over here is telling us three perushim for the words haba v'yado. The first perush is what is in his possession. Things that are in his possession. What's in his possession? Livestock, obviously. That's what it's going to say over here. It's going to say animals. These things are his property. Okay, then Rad Havav Yodo means precious stones. He gave them because precious stones is something which you carry in your bare hands. And what's problematic with that is it doesn't say anything about that. It says, the Pesukim go on to describe a very long elaboration about all of the gifts. And all it's all about animals. He just sent him animals. So here, what's going on over here? So how could Rashi say that's a little bit off the beaten path because the pasuk makes no mention of that. And the third interpretation is Salam Shavart. It's first he gave Meiser. And after he gave Meiser, whatever is left over after he gave 10%, that's called what enters into your hand. In other words, Rashi is saying is that it's not called yours until you first give Meiser to the Kohen the Levi, you give Tzedakah. Hashem gives a person Parnasa. It's not yet his. It becomes his only after you separate the Meiser, what you're supposed to give to the poor people, and then by separating the Meiser, everything else comes into your possession. Three Perushim.
That would mean that if you have a case of Kohen, you're not allowed to take from Meiser.
Well, this wasn't the if this he didn't give my this he gave the chul, he didn't give the maaser. He did not give the maaser.
Right, but if you have the kuach nefesh,
okay, that's a different. So what?
You need to pay for it.
This is not kuach nefesh. Let me ask you, this is not Bikuch Nefesh. Yaakov over here doesn't feel Bikuch Nefesh.
But still, he had to give
so you're asking a very good question. You're asking a very typical question. Why would he even bother you? There's no din of Meiser in this case. Esav said, I want to kill you. If a guy says they want to kill you, believe them. Believe them. Don't think they're just talking nice. So here, it's Bikuch Nefesh. So why did Yaakov have to go through the steps of separating Meiser to go, what is he wasting
because
his time?
You don't give Bikuch, you can't go for Bikuch Nefesh before you give Hashem his chelik.
Okay, that's not so simple.
But that's what's mashma.
Rabbi Leiz, I can't hear you well.
The loss of Meiser was given by the Tinder later.
Okay, no, alright, well, that's an old question. All the whole Chumash Bereishis, you find the Ksuba, and you find they're doing all the mitzvahs. So,
it doesn't.
Blaise, your voice is going out. I can't hear you.
Okay. Just Rashi introduces a medrash over there.
Right. It's a medrash. It's not parsha. So now all you can just say very simply is that when he gave the meiser, this is way before. Yaakov Avinu, he discovers now that Esav is coming. It could very well be that he gave the meiser years ago, long ago. Long ago he gave Meiser, and then after he gave Meiser, it's Habba Yodo. So just telling you, let's say now at this moment he has new wealth.
What's the purpose of giving us a hypothetical case?
No, Rashi's coming to tell you the meaning of the word Habba Yodo. Yaakov Avinu had assets. He had in his possession millions of dollars. So Rashi is telling us, how do you define the person's assets? Person has in the bank money. The money in the bank is called Habo v'yodo. What does that mean? So Rashi is telling us all of your money is bo v'yodo. It's an unusual expression. It comes into your hand. What do you mean it comes into my hand? It always was in my hand. From the day one it was in my hand. Every single second, the moment that I earned the money was in my hand. No, it wasn't. When you had that money, it was really Hashem's money. It's only after you did the action of separating Meiser, then it first came into your hand. You're just telling us derech agav, the word that a person's assets are called by the term above v'yadai, and it could very well be he gave the money a long time ago before he encountered Esav. All right, whatever it is. Now, go back to the Targum. The Targum says unisiv min de aisi vide. Doesn't really say. He's just translating the words. Haba b'yado. What came into his hands? I don't see any deep dig over here in this pasuk, and over here in the ma'at. Sorry, does he say anything over here? Tifatay, it's just words over here. I'm looking at it. The aiti loy tergin kloshen lakasav haba the asay. So he does make a dig. Ela shatam shilu ha yimtag b'loshen mikra ha yimashma shelokach mashaba me eila b'yado. Avol loy ha yakocha. Saying over here an idea. The time over here is asking a question. Really, the osay, the literal translation of haba should be de osay, which came in the past tense. It doesn't say that. It says the I see. I see.
The will come.
The I see. Okay. El. Lo take Roshan Kosa Haba the Osei the Oda Asa that came. Roshan Ova that came. Ella. He brought. Ella Tirgim Shehim that he brought. That he brought in his hands. He took in his hands. Haba Viado means he took. Shehevi, the Hebrew translation of the as, going backwards, the I say he shehevi, he brought. What does that mean? So I'll read you again. V'tam she'ilu hoyimetagim b'loshon mikra hoyimashma shelokach mashaba me'el, what came by itself. That's not so. Nothing comes by itself. He worked very hard on this money. He worked very hard for this money.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe that's exactly what Rashi... See, this is what Rashi is coming to over here. Rashi is coming... Rashi over here is going to town. Rashi, all of a sudden, he wakes up. And Rashi says, above the other, he gives this whole long drasha. Huh? Who asked Rashi to say?
How do you pronounce above? As Bilal or Mira?
There's only one way to pronounce. There's only one syllable. Ba. Haba. Haba. The hey is a...
means future.
No, that's ba'ah. That's when there's a hey at the end. There's no hey at the end. There's only one syllable in this word. Haba. The hey is... Okay, the hey is a prefix. The hey is not part of the word. It's a prefix. Min haba. This is not haba'ah. Haba'ah with an... If it would be ba'ah with an aleph and a hey, then you would have to pronounce the aleph. There is no hey at the end of this word. So it's just ba. Ba. Min haba. So here is what's going on. Rashi over here, you see another example of how, to prove this point, that Rashi has wrote a sefer on the Targum. If the Targum would be silent, so if I took min haba, haba is in the past tense. Haba can mean either the present tense or the past tense. Whatever came into his hand, maybe Yaakov, he won the lottery. Maybe, you know, this was a part of his pension plan. It was money that came, or maybe it's money that he worked for. He worked very, very hard for 20 years. Assets that came into his possession. How did they come into his possession? However, there are many ways money comes into a person's possession. Hashem wants you to have money, the money comes. Above the other. So Rashi L'chaira would have been silent. Look, Rashi doesn't go to town by Yolen. He doesn't talk about the Laila. He doesn't talk about anything else. You can darshan any word that you want. There's an unlimited mamari chazal and midrashim to go to town and talk about every single word in the pasuk. Rashi, for some reason, he gets very excited about the word haba. Why? Why is Rashi getting worked up? You know why he's getting worked up? Because unkelis, it's the only word that unkelis violated the rules of grammar. Every single word in Unkelis is a perfect translation. A plus. Uvas, Tamon, Belelia, Hahu, Unisiv, Min, Kay, Viday, Tuk, Tik, Ruftol, Esavach. Everything is perfect. The only word that the Targum says that is a deviation of the Pshutoy Shel Mikra is the IC, which means that Yaakov himself, he himself, the possessive, it's possessive. I took into my hand. I took into my hand. What do you mean you took into your hand? That's not what the pasuk says. Min haba. Haba means it came into your hand. Somebody, these possessions, they entered into your, they came. How did they come? The bank sent you a check. It came. How did it come? Because you worked, so Mamela, you got the money. So that's not what it says. He's deviating from the Pshuta Shel Mikra. Oh, once the Targum got worked up here, and it's not really clear what the Targum means, that Yaakov took into his possession. Rashi here is now coming, let me tell you Pshat in the Targum. Menaba either means Shutoi birushusai. First of all, he says, listen, Targum, you know what? I disagree with you, Targum. It's not that he took. It means whatever is in my possession. And then, if you want to go acknowledge that Targum is deviating from the Pshuta Shel Mikra, and it means you took into your hands, what does a person take into his hands? Precious stones. Or, min haba, by doing a mitzvah, of giving Meiser, that's how you take into your possession, your assets, your wealth. Okay, so that's what the time over here is. The time of Rashi over here, you see another example of Rashi and the Targum, they're colluding. Okay, now of the Pasuk 15, Pasuk says of Izim Mosan, there's a very long Rashi over here. This Rashi, we have to just run through. It's not really a Rashi you want to dwell upon. I don't know how they teach this to children, this Rashi. But Izim Osayim, so he had 200 goats. Now we have to read the Sukkim together over here. He had Izim Osayim Usyoshim Eshrim. And what does that mean? What are Izim? Izim are female goats. Females. usiyoshim are male, 20. 20 to 100. So what does that mean? Every male goat has 10 females. If there are 200 females and there are 20 males, each male has 20 females. Why Raj going to say? Because when the nekeva becomes pregnant, it's no longer mekabel the zocha. So therefore, there will be 20. Rechelim osayim. Rachel is a female goat. How many? 200. Ve'elin eshrim. Same male. Same proportion. 200 female, 20 males. 200 female goats and 20 male. Camels. Gemalim menikos. Camels that are nursing, which means females. Uvnehem. And their children, with their children, shloishim. Parois arboim, 40 parois, and uforim asaros. Let's just look at this one over here, this moment over here. A para, 40 males and 10 females, which means each male had 4 females. Asanos, eshrim va'ayorim asaros. So this is a donkey, male donkey and female donkeys. So this has 20 and 10. One male for 10. And what about the camels? The camels, meini kois uvnehem shloishim. It doesn't say anything about the female camels. So what's going on with that? We have to analyze that. Vayitain, okay, let's look at these two psukim, 15 and 16, the Targum. What does the Targum say on these two psukim? Izei mosan, 200 goats, usiyoshaya esrin, 10. Rechelim mosan, v'dichlin, the male, izim are goats, female goats and male goats. Orochel is a sheep. Okay, I'm sorry. Rechelim, female sheep, and male sheep is 20. So it's the same ratio. Each male had 20 females. Next pasuk, the gemalim, gamle men kosa uvnehoin tilosin. Now, what does that mean? The camels, together with their children, was 30. Tarsa, oxen 40, female oxen, vitare asra, and male oxen was 10. So each male ox had 4 females. Asion, donkeys 20, v'irei, female donkeys are 20, and male donkeys are, each one is 20, Eshen is 20, there are 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. Each male had 2 females. Now let's see Rashi. Go to Rashi very quickly. Rashi in the previous pasuk says, Izim osayim usiyoshim eshrim. Okay, it's interesting Rashi. It's not something that you want to, whatever. Mosayim izim tshrichois, 20 females need, 200 female goats need 20 male goats. V'chein kulam ha-zechorim kidei tzorech ha-nekevos. There's a ratio. In each species, a male needs a certain number of females. U'v'breishis rabba, in the Medrash, derish mikan le'oino ha-mur b'toira, the requirement of a husband to a wife. It all depends on a person's profession. Hatayolim b'chol yom, people that are batel. Tayolim, people, which basically means they don't work at all. They have relations with their wife every, it says here, b'chol yom. Hapoalim, workers, they're very busy. Shtayim b'shabbos, 2 times each week. Hachamorim, people that are porters. Achas b'shabbos. Hagamolim, people that travel long distances. The Chamorim travel short distances. Gamolim travel long distances. Achas l'shloishim, once in 30 days. Hasaponim, they traveled even longer distances. On ships, achas l'shisha chadoshim. Now Rashi here says, ve'eini yodeh l'chavin ha'midosh hazeh b'chivun. Rashi is humble. Rashi says, I do not know how to to the precision of this medrash. I do not know how to analyze this medrash with precision. Ach nir b'yenai, shalavanu mikan she'en ho'inda shove b'chol adam el lefi tarach hamuta l'lof. It's a variable. It all depends upon a person's obligations, a person's profession. We find here in this pasuk that every male goat was given 20 females, and likewise every female sheep, every male sheep was given 20 female sheep. Why? Because they're lady gayers. They don't do anything. They just roam around the whole day. Lefi yishayim pinuyim mimulacha darkam laharbos tashmish ulaaber eser nikevos. Uveheva mishmis aber. Once a female is pregnant, ena nikabela zachar will not accept the zachar. What about why are parim less? Why is it 1 to 4? The ratio is 1 to 4 because parim work very hard. Uparim shoyskim mimulacha loy marsal lazachar ela aber nikevos. V'lachamor, a donkey that travels, sholach v'derech v'chayka shtei nekevos, l'zachar. U'l'gamal, now here is a little bit complicated because it does not say in the pasuk anything about female camels. V'l'gamalim sholachim derech yoyser v'chayka nekeva achas l'zachar. 1 to 1. Now, what do you mean 1 to 1? It doesn't say that. All it says here, Gimalim me nikois uvnehem shloishim. What? Where are the males? Where are the males? There's no males here. There's discrimination. Only females. When it comes to all the other animals, we have the females and the males. The females and the males. And we have a very precise ratio. Ratio based upon the situation. On the expectation. But when it comes to Gemalim, it's one female per one male. Where are the males? So maybe you'll tell them this because now it's not necessary. They don't need males altogether now. Right now, the journey, they're traveling over here, this journey over here that is going now to Esav, by the time Esav will reach the destination, when they'll reach the destination, then they'll get males for the females. But right now, it's not necessary. I don't know what this means. Okay.
They are nursing.
They're nursing. I'm saying this. They're not accepting. Oh, I see what you're saying. Since they're nursing, they're not very good. Since they're nursing, they will not accept the male. They don't need males. They don't need the males. Now, here's the question I don't understand. Who needs who? Does the male need the female? Or does the female need the male? Okay? Rashi here says... See, in the Ksuba, it says in the Ksuba that there's an obligation from the Ksuba Tzmashma, you know, let's not talk about the world of reality. Person's Yetzahar. Okay, this is not really such a good discussion to talk about on Zoom. But any event, in the world of reality, you know, there are all different types of people. There are all different types of people. Some have a very big Yetzahar, some don't have such a Yetzahar, males, females, none of our business. I have no idea. Everyone to each his own. Everyone has a different Yetzirah. But it seems from the Ksuba, it says even in the Torah, She'era kisusa v'yoyna lo yigra. And it says in last week's parasha, Lavan said to Yaakov, Im ta'ane es b'noisai. You get the impression, for some reason, in the Ksuba, in the Torah, by Omo Ho'avriya, and by Lavan, that the obligation refers to the Isha. The starting point is the Nekeva. But yet it says over here, then Rashi contradicts himself, because Rashi only talks about the men, the males, who are working. It's not so clear. It's not so clear over here. His words are, Mosayim izin males, Tzrichos, it's the males that Tzrichos Eshem Tiyoshim. V'chein kulam, ha-zecharim, the males, kidei tzorech ha-nekevos. That's a contradiction. You see what I'm trying to say? From whose perspective is there this ratio? Is it from the perspective of the females, or is it from the perspective of the males? Rashi first starts off, 200 males need 20 No. I said it wrong. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. It's from the perspective of the females. 200 females need 20 males because they get pregnant. V'chein kulam ha-zecharim k'dei tzorech the need of hanikevas. The calculation begins from the perspective of the female. The female's wish to conceive. And once they conceived, it's no longer necessary. So now, again, we're talking over here in there, but there when he gives the example of the mitzvah, it says over here, by workers, by people who try, there the perspective is from the males. I don't know. Okay, let's go back to the Targum. Does the Targum say anything over here that would indicate that there's some type of disagreement over here in the Targum? Targum here said, in this pasuk, Izim Osayim. Okay, he didn't really seem to say, I can't pick up on anything over here. All right, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayitin Yalavoyi, he gave all of the animals to his servants. Eider, Eider Levadai. He separated each flock separately. Vayoymer, and he said, Levadai, said to his servants, Ivru Lefonai, pass before me. Verevach Tosim Ben Eider, Uvein Eider. Okay, so he gave it Eider and Eider, each one was separate, and then he said to his servants, pass before me, and you shall put a gap, a space, between each individual flock. Okay, what does the Targum say? Yihabiyad Avdo, he gave it in the hands of his servants. Edra, Edra, Bilchoidi, each one was separate. Va'amar la'avdohi, Ibaru kodomai, pass before me, Urvachot teshavun, and you shall separate them in Edra, you shall put space. Revach, Revach, like the Svardin, right? That the favorite word of Kaddish, Revach. What is Revach? Here's the word Revach. Here you got it. Put Revach between Eder Uvein Eder. You shall put space between Edra and Edra. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, Eder, Eder, Levada, Kol Min, V'min, Li, Atzmo. Each Min, when it says the Eder, Eder means each group, each set of animals. There are goats, and there are sheep, and there are camels, and there are donkeys. Each one separate. You shall pass before me. Now, what does Rashi here mean? A day or less. What does that mean? A day or less. Make up your mind. Either a day, or three quarters of a day, or half a day. The gap, the distance that you should go before me with the gift should be approximately less than a day. Not more than a day. And I will follow, you'll present the gift, and I will arrive at the same destination where you are presenting the gift within 24 hours. V'revach tosimu, eider lifnei chaveroi, one before the next. Miloi ha'ayin, now what does this mean exactly? Didn't the pasuk already said kol min v'min li atzmai? Didn't you already say that? So what does this mean? V'revach tosimu, eider lifnei chaveroi. I don't know what this means. I don't know what he's coming to add it for. Miloy ayin, it should be spread them out. Kidei lehasbiya einay shal oisa rosha ule savehu al ribui hadoron, and you shall satisfy him regarding the abundance. Like he shall be satiated the abundance of the gift. In other words, packaging, the presentation. When you go to a wedding, you go to a simcha, it's not just the food. They don't just dump in front of you the food. It's the way it's presented. It has to be on square plates, rectangular plates. It has to be syrup poured in a very particular direction. It has to be, you know, everything has to be tablecloths, flowers, the place setting. You know what I'm talking about. Everything has to be presented just right. It's not enough that the food should be good. Presentation. When the presentation is beautiful, that changes everything. Sometimes you see people, they send these spectacular Mishloch Manos. The presentation is A+. And when you open it up, what's inside? Nothing. Literally nothing. There's nothing to eat. Okay? All I can tell you is, I had a friend in yeshiva, and it's a very famous family. You know, everyone here knows, I'm not going to say the name of the family. And Baruch Hashem, he married off all his kids a long time ago, and now the grandchildren are all, you know, probably the great-grandchildren. And he had a mishigas, this person, that by his weddings, he served corned beef sandwiches. So I remember he's a very wealthy family, you all know, and it was the one in my class, he got married. I remember it was in Muncie. I remember it was in the atrium. I went there. No, so Baruch Hashem, we've gone to weddings. There's a smorgasbord. You know the smorgasbord? You go to Marina Del Rey. Wow. Woo-hoo. You can eat there for a lifetime, what they have over there. And then you come to the dinner. All right, not bad. You know, they serve. They come, they serve. I never understand what's the big deal. After the smorgasbord like that, what more are you going to serve for the main course? I mean, what are you going to do already? What are you going to give already? Okay, you give a choice, this, that. Okay, so they have the main course. So the mishigas that this person had was they served everyone literally corned beef sandwiches on club with French fries and onion rings and other chazarei. And come to the whistle. I heard about this legend. I heard about the legend. And like, I never went to a wedding from this family. But this guy's in my class, so he invited me, so I went to his wedding. So sure enough, the place is packed. Everyone came to this wedding, and the waiter comes, and the waiter says, would you like, you know, the regular, you like chicken, would you like beef, or would you like the corned beef sandwich option? Every single person in the whole place took the corned beef sandwich, and they came out. It was hilarious. They came out with this massive corned beef sandwich on club, with French fries and onion rings and probably some other chazarei, and I never in my life saw people eat like the way they ate that night. They just ate and ate and ate. An achila gasa. What about the beautiful presentation? You know, when they serve, you know, the piece of meat, they cut it just right and they put it on an angle with a toothpick. You know, what happened to all the presentation? The revach tosimu. Who cares? Men like food. Here, it's not the case. Esav was a feinschmeck. It was not enough to him to have all the animals. He had to see the presentation, had to be packaged just perfect. That's what over here it says over here in Rashi, lahasbia, to satiate the eye of the Rasha, ule savehu. I'm not sure I know what that word means. It means somehow taiva, al ribe hadoron, the abundance of the gift. Now the difficulty you get over here in this pasuk over here is, what is the difference? I still don't get it. The difference in the beginning of the pasuk and the end of the pasuk. First it says eider levadai, and then it says verevach tosimu bein eider uvein eider. So I thought it would mean each one is separate, and then in between each group there shall be space. But that's not what it says. It says eider levadai Rashi kol min vomin laatzmai. And then Eider Lifnei Chaver Meloi Ha'ayim. I guess maybe that's really what it means. First it says they shall be separate. No taruvis, no mingling. And then in addition of them being separate, there should be an abundance of space between each group to make it look like it's very, very impressive. Make the most out of it. There should be separation. And in addition to the separation of each variety, each min, there shall be a very great distance between the groups. Okay. I don't see any of here. Let me just give a quick peek. Maybe there's something very important that I'm missing. In Pasuk Yod Zayin, and no, he has no commentary at all over here. Fascinating. Okay, Pasuk Yod Ches. Vayitzav es Rishon Leymar. He commanded, who's the Rishon? The first group. Leymar. ki yifgashcha Esav achi, when you meet Esav. Now, by the way, who's the Rishon over here? The Rishon over here are Malachim, or people with these words, with these people. In the beginning of the parasha, it says Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim, angels. These are angels. And Rashi says in this pasuk, Malachim Mamish, angels. So, are these the same angels? Vayishu HaMalachim. Okay, they came back. And Yaakov makes a long speech, prays to Hashem, and now, Vayikach, Minchol Esav Achiv, Izim Osayim, oh, they're not Malachim anymore. You see, they're not Malachim. These are his servants. Vayitein Biyad Avodav, in the hands of his servants. Eider, Eider, Levad, okay. Vayitzaves are showing the first group of servants, Leimar, Ki Yifgashcha, when you will meet Esav Achi, my brother, Ushelcha Leimar, and he will ask you, saying, he will ask you, Lumiat, who are you? Va'ona Selech, where are you going? Ulumi Eidel Lefonech, and who are these? Three questions. He's going to ask you three questions. Who are you? Where are you going? And what do you got here? It's like when you go to Eretz Yisrael in the airport. They first want to see your passport. Who are you? Where are you going? Which flight? You're going to Eretz Yisrael. And what do you got in the bag here? What do you got in the suitcase? You see, in 3,000 years, nothing changed. 3,000 years. Mayor, you there? Nothing changed. Who are you? Where are you going? And can I see your ticket? Basically, where are you going? And what do you got in the suitcase? This is exactly what goes on in the airport. Mayor, you hear me? Let's see over here, Rashi. Rashi, you tell the Targum, Targunculus. Ufakeid Yossi commanded.
I hear you.
He commanded the first group of servants. Lemeimar, Arei Ye'ar Inoch Esav. Now, this is a very important word. Yifgoshcha. Yifgoshcha literally means to meet. A meeting up. Here it says Ye'ar Inoch, which seems to mean to quarrel. There's an interesting translation for the word Ki Yifgoshcha. Let's see. Esavachi. Ushe'ei Linoch. Lemeimar, he'll ask you, Lemon at, who are you? Who are you? Ulon at Ozel, where are you going? Ulemon Elaine de Kodamach, to whom? Okay, Ule, see, it's not really what I said. Ulemi, I made a mistake. I told you, what do you have here? It's obvious what you have. You have x-ray machines. The question is, did anyone give you a package? It's even better, right? I know what you have here. Open up the suitcase. I can see what's inside the suitcase. The question is, who gave this to you? Who gave this? Did anyone give you a package? Are these yours or do these belong to someone else? There are servants. The servants over here, who are you? Where are you going? And the items, with the possessions that you have with you, who do they own? Who's the owner? Who's the balabas here? Who's the owner? Ulamon Elaine de Kodamach. Before we go, first, I want to tell you a drush, a very short drush. Notice you say Lemi, who is mon. The bread that the Jewish people ate in the Midbar, what was it called? Mon. Mon. Over here, the mon is really an Aramaic word which means who are you? Who? And the Jewish, I think Menachem Mirimnov says that through the eating of the mon and the entire Nisoyon, you had to deserve the mon. And a person didn't deserve the man, when he woke up in the morning by the front door, there was no man.
He had a stomachache.
You had to go check it out. You had to go search for the man. Treasure hunt every single day. Because it was an indication, Shaman, that you're not a tzaddik, that you've done an aver. And therefore, it forced the Jewish people to be tzaddikim. It forced them, because they were embarrassed, it forced them to raise themselves up, to wake up early, to go to davening, to everything properly. Kedas chedin. So what happened was, through the man, people did not recognize their friends. I know you in Mitzrayim. You're good for nothing. You're an oisvarf. You never came to shul. You spoke Lashon Hara. You were a jealous person. And now, all of a sudden, here in the Midbar, you're a tzaddik, you were a bekesha, you're a shtreimel, you get shlishi. What? You? You, the oisvarf? Mon who? Who are you? Do I recognize you? I can't believe the transformation. How did it come about? It came about through the mon. The mon was lechem abirim. All the different dimensions of the mon brought about a reality that people became different people. They were transformed. They were transformed to the degree that their neighbors, their friends, their family did not recognize one another because they became such good people. They became different, a different category, a different class of people. So they said to each other, Mon, who are you? And that's a side point. But that's the tagum of the word. That's a side. This tagum of the pasuk. I remember that from Nahum Rimanov. And I think they cite this tagum and this pasuk. Mon lemi ata, who are you? You said to your fellow friend, I don't even recognize you. Okay. In any event, now we look at Rashi. Rashi says lemi ata shel mi ata. So this is interesting. Rashi over here is saying, is he saying like the Targum? The Targum says monata, limonata. Yeah, he's saying the same thing. Is that you're a servant. You are a servant. Who owns you? Who's your boss? Who's your master? That's the first one. Sholmiata mi sholchacha v'targum demonata. As the targum himself says, who are you? Ulemi eila lefanecha ve'eila sholefanecha sholmihem. Lemi hamin chazoy sholucha. Ah, so here he says a little bit different. Ulemi eila lefanecha, I didn't say it correctly, means to whom are you sending this gift to? Ve'eila sholefanecha sholmihem. What does that mean? It doesn't mean who is the owner. Who is the destination? Lemi haMincha Hazoy Shelucha. To whom is this Mincha directed? The Lamed Mishameshes Berosh Atev Mokam Shol Kimo. The Lamed means Lamed in the beginning of the word. Let's see. V'chol Asher Ata Roya Lihu Shelihu Shelihu LaHashem Aretz Moloa Shel Hashem. So he's saying the Lamed of Ulemi, the lamed of Ulemi is to whom is the destination? To whom is it directed? All right, we have to. Yeah.
Lemi ata means
the slaves. You servants. Who is your master?
No. It means Hashem is our boss, and we do tefillah first, and then he says.
It's not what it says here.
And we are going. We're going to war. And Lemiela, what are these? You want to take a bribe, we can bribe you off.
No, it's not what Rashi says. It's not what Rashi says.
No, that's not, but I'm saying it. To me, it means Tefillah, Luchama, and Darim, you know? The three things that Rashi said in the beginning of the Bible.
You want to say a Drush. You want to say Lemiata, who do you pray to? Tefillah. Yes. Ulemi Eila, and where are you going? It's war. What's your battle plan? Ulemi Eila lefonecha, and what's the gift all about?
Yeah, and the gift is a bribe.
The bribe. You want to say over here. You want to say over here that the lemiata means to whom do you connect to? I like what you're saying there. Lemiata to
the
whom?
And the reason war comes before Dairen is because you tell him. I'm going to war. If you want to avoid war, you'll accept my bribe. If you give a bribe, then you know, you say, then he'll ask you for more bribes. It doesn't mean to stop a war, but here you're telling me beforehand.
I'm going to war.
If you want to stop a war, you'll accept my bribe.
I hear what you're saying very good. You're saying over here, Lemiata is to whom do you connect to? To Hashem Tfila? Ulemi Ulonato Hoylech means you're going to war. So an expression of war. Why are you going to war? And Lemi'el Lefanecha means all this.
So what do you need all these animals?
The gifts, the present. Yeah. So he's asking over here, you're saying very good, the three parts of war. Only thing I want to ask you is, I mean, this is not a question, is the order.
Yeah.
Because in the beginning, when the beginning of this parasha, so Rashi says he prepared for three things. Right? He prepared for three things, and Rashi, let's find the pasuk here. The three things he prepared for were.
Tefillah.
He prepared for three things. Where's the Rashi? Let's find the next. He prepared for three things. For tefillah.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know where the Rashi is. Here it is. Maybe here it is. Vayetzel vayachatz. Vayomi vayisa. Oh, here it is. Okay, no, that's a mincha. Machane. Let's see. Okay, no. Let's see. Next pasuk. Katointi. Hatsilenina. Marta. No, I don't know where it is. I gotta go find the Rashi. All right, another time. All right, excellent. Okay, Ashokar Chabais, I have a wonderful evening. Thank you for coming.
Yeah,
thank
I
you.
Have a kasha.
Yeah.
Why didn't Yaakov do the same thing when Lavan came to visit him? When Lavan was coming to fight him,
good kasha.
He should have made machnais. He should have had tefillah. He should have had durim. He should have practiced it. Already.
I guess first of all, it was their father. It was Lavan's
father. Yeah, father, brothers. With these guys, it don't make a difference.
These were his grandchildren. They were his grandchildren. He's going to kill his own grandchildren, his own children's daughters.
Big Ish Rabbi, that doesn't kill. Don't we say that in the Agada?
I hear what you're saying. Maybe he didn't have time. He was overtaken. Yaakov tried to escape.
The only luck he had was that Hashem had a dream gave him a dream beforehand. Don't you dare. But Yaakov didn't know that.
I hear what you're saying.
He didn't know he had a dream. He should have prepared himself for it.
I hear what you're saying. I don't know. I hear you saying good.
So I think the thing is that Yaakov was not willing to give him any dirt because he said, I worked for him hard enough. I worked 14 years for him. He ripped me off. So I'm not going to give him any money. What am I going to give him? This is good. This is hard-earned cash. I put the sticks, the speckled sticks. I'm not going to give him any money. And if he wants a war, you know, if he wants to fight against his kids, I mean, he was willing to fight because what would have happened if he would have found the trophim and they would have said, I'm not giving you back the trophim? He was ready to fight, Lava.
So you're saying good. So why didn't he repair, why did he do the same thing? I don't know. I hear you're saying good, Kasha.
It could be he was prepared. Because there wasn't 400 people. All you had was Laban and his sons. And for that, he was prepared for Laban and his sons.
Was he prepared? It doesn't think he was prepared.
I don't think Laban's sons were much older than the Shvatim. Because they were born after he got married. Laban didn't have sons before. It's only after he married Rachel and Leah that he loved and
right, had sons. Right. So they were young. You're right. You're younger.
So they were the same height as his Shvatim. He wasn't afraid. I have 12. I don't know how many he has. I have 4 wives, 12. How many wives did Lavan have? My kids work all day with the sheep. They know how to take sticks. They'll fight. And I'm not giving a diren. And I think Yaakov's plan was to get across the river before Lavan got there, so that he would know Hashem would save him.
I hear what you're saying. You're saying good.
It's a very interesting question.
Tak, why not? Here, I found the Rashi. He said l'doyroin. Yaakov first prepared a gift, l'tzfilah. The second one was a tzfilah. And the third one was v'lam ulchama. L'doyroin v'atar minchal ponav l'tfilah elekei aviyavrem l'am ulchama. So according to your drush, the order, first of all, why did the first thing Yaakov do? The first thing Yaakov did was a gift. Then he was mispalel. Then he was mispalel. And then it was war. War comes at the end. First is a gift. You try to go there, chateva. A gift. Then you prepare for it with tefillah. And then is mulchama. In this case, lemi'ata, the only way you can say lemi'ata means is tefillah. The eretz zach is tefillah. L'onato ha'ilech is war. Tefillah and war. So the only
what you're talking here, it's more the more I talk about it, it sounds better. When you're meeting Aesop, he's a different type of person philosophically completely. Yaakov knew that Aesop was a Russia, whatever, he was bad. Aesop didn't realize what Yaakov was. He thought Yaakov was my lover, and he became like lover, you know? So Rashi says that Yaakov told Aesop, I'm a tzaddik, I didn't take a penny from my lover. So the first thing is you tell Aesop, hey, listen, I'm a Eved Hashem, and period, well, we're different. We'll always be different, and you should know that. I'm not a threat, I'm just different than you. I play to Hashem. And then the second thing is you can't say I'm giving you a bride, because you give a guy a bride, he wants more. That doesn't, you know, he takes the bribe and then he does it. But if you tell him, okay, you want to fight? I'm ready to fight. But you see all these animals? You want to get away with it? If you take the animals, you don't have to fight. But if you want to fight, you're not going to get the animals either. They're the last thing in my list. So what do you want to do? What's smart? You want to do a win-win? You understand what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying.
So it's a very psychological PR job that he's doing now. He's really, really, you know?
I hear.
It's like negotiating. You first come in and say, no, this is my philosophy, this is my stand, I'm not doing anything. And if you don't want to accept it, okay, we can fight about it. But you know what? I have all this money, you know? You want to take the money, you can convince me and I'll give you the money and forget about it. And we'll be finished. So if you're smart, you say, okay, I have nothing to do with him, and he's going to give me his money, and I don't have to fight for him. I think this is a very deep. You got to figure it out. There could be more support for it.
I think what you're saying, I don't know if you get it, is Esav is giving Musa to Yaakov. In other words, Yaakov, the first thing he did was, okay, I'm dealing with Esav. So the first thing is money. Money.
No.
A darin.
He didn't do money. What was the first thing Yaakov did?
Money. It says in Rashi.
No,
and that was after. They came back. Now he makes preparations.
No, but before they came back, he sent Malachim.
So what?
What does that mean? What does Malachim mean?
He sent whatever it means.
A bunch of guys with long beards and wings to talk to him?
Malachim.
And Asa didn't know they were Malachim.
He did know that he was trying to scare him.
So he said to him, hey, listen, I am in a different realm than you.
Okay.
I'm not a chaser. I don't